This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. We're about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case loving you.
Guys, we're back at the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCDALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. Sorry, I'm a little jet lagged. It was a great trip. We're going to talk about it. I know everybody wants me to talk about Amsterdam and the red light district. There's other parts to Holland. You know, there's windmills and a lot of bicycles. And I did see Germany and Austria. Don't you guys want to know about that? But, we'll talk about that in the next segment because it's going to be kind of a little bit more adult content. I want to make sure, I throw out a disclaimer so parents get their kids out of the way because when we talk about Europe, it's going to be not as kid-friendly a discussion, but we are going to discuss, which I think the kids should know about, earthquakes. So a lot of talk and a lot of myths going around about the earthquakes that have been happening. We've had two in a very short period of time in California. We had a, I believe it was like a 6.7 last Thursday and then a 7.1 in roughly California, a similar area, and I guess there's this prediction that the big one is supposed to happen. Everyone's like, oh my gosh, the big earthquake's going to happen. The California is going to be broken off. It's going to go into the ocean. Dwayne Johnson is going to have to be there to save the day because of the San Andreas Fault, which I really don't understand the movie San Andreas. I think a second one is coming out. I don't know if I missed it already. And, you know, buildings are falling and, you know, there's all this mayhem, papers falling all over the place, yet, you know, the Rock shirt still stays firmly on him. I kind of don't understand that. Okay, so to me, the San Andreas movie was not very realistic at all. And, you know, there's a lot of myths when it comes to these, you know, big earthquakes. You know, we had technically a 7.1 earthquake in Ridgecrest, California. I felt it in Las Vegas. I was back home. Okay, I had gone to bed at about 8 in the evening because I was really, really tired. I was still on Europe time. And the bed started to shake, and Corey was there, too. And I'm like, and Corey was asleep. And I'm like, there's an earthquake. And he's like, no, it's not. You know, the animals are acting fine. And that's a myth. Your animals acting crazy during an earthquake, that a lot of times your animals, I don't know about you guys, but my pets, we've been broken into, and the pets are asleep. I mean, you know, mommy instincts or spidey sense or, you know, Peter tingles, like on Spider-Man, those usually do a lot better than, you know, your animals. Don't rely on your pets and my cats. I mean, they were just asleep or cleaning themselves, doing nothing. And so anyway, it was a pretty good rock, a pretty good, you know, crazy shift. And so I called everybody I knew in California to make sure they were safe, because if I felt in Las Vegas, you know, it's pretty rough. Well, there's been predictions now by the USGS that there's a 31% chance that the, quote, big one will happen mid-century. So that's like mid-2000 something, like 2050. And what happens with a big one? I mean, I think the largest earthquake that we've seen has been like a 9.1, and it was in the 60s in Alaska. And Alaska did not break off into the ocean. So California is not going to break off into the ocean, which is good because I got relatives there. I got friends, family there. I like California. I don't want California. Everybody's like, oh, they should secede. No, I like California. Just put politics aside. They're a great state. But 7.5 earthquakes and above are pretty serious. I wasn't there for the Northridge, but I was, my husband's family was, and the Northridge quake, that did a lot of damage. A lot of people died. And so, how are you supposed to prepare? Well, people are expecting numbers. People are expecting, you know, concrete, you know, times and dates of, you know, when it's going to happen. Seismologists can't do that. Okay, you know, the earth is unpredictable. I mean, unless you have monitors, you know, deep into the faults, they're not going to get those predictions. Yeah, another thing, too, is they say when the earthquake does happen, you're not going to necessarily have asphalt open up. The faults shift. You know, so you aren't going to be sitting there having big holes in the ground with people falling into magma. That's not going to happen. But there is going to be a lot of damage that could happen with buildings, etc. Now, we were taught when we were younger that if there was an earthquake, you run and hide under a door. I never liked that, hiding under a door frame, because your doors are slamming back and forth. And so you're getting hit by the door, or your kids could get their fingers stuck, you know, in the opening or the crack of the door hinge. And so, you know, I was taught when I kind of grew up in California to hide under your desk. This drop, hide, hold on. Getting under something that could affect your head is kind of one of the smartest things to do. Don't run out of the building. Everybody wants to run out of a building if it's shaking because they're afraid of what happened with Northridge, where the building fell and it collapsed the people on the first floor. The problem is if things are falling, you're at more risk of injury outside the building than inside the building. So you need to stay in the building. If you're in bed, like me and Corey were, they say hide under your pillow, because stuff could fall. If you have anything hanging above the bed, like a chandelier or mirror or whatever, I don't know what you guys have in your bedroom, they say take that down. Don't have stuff over your bed. Most of the time these earthquakes happen early morning, late night, and so you're in bed and you don't want things falling on you. Everybody has to have, you know, decor in the bedroom. You really don't have to have decor in the bedroom, okay? You know, I don't understand why people show everybody in their bedroom. That's kind of a private place. You don't really have to decorate it. So is the big one going to happen? Seismologists are like, well, I know everybody wants a number. So they're saying, all right, 31% chance for mid-century. What the hell does that mean? So I would suggest this. I think this is a teaching point where we, especially in America, just kind of do it wrong. We don't panic or prepare about anything until something bad happens. And I don't know about you guys, and I'm really optimistic about life, but it seems to me that there's always something bad happening. There's always a shooting. There's always a fire. There's always an earthquake. There's always a hurricane. So I would just say expect something to happen. Have an emergency kit. Does anybody have emergency prep kits at home? Right, with flashlight and batteries, and yeah, your batteries are like in the kitchen, you know, in one drawer, and the flashlight maybe in the bathroom. No, have an emergency kit put together. What about like food? You know, for a rainy day, food, water. Do you have it in like a garbage bag that's kind of waterproof that you just grab and go if you have to? You know, if there's an earthquake, we're going to lose water, we're going to lose power, we're going to lose electricity, and you might have to leave. You might not be able to get back into your building because it's condemned. So, are you guys prepared for that? No. You know, we're kind of like dumb when it comes to that, you know? Bad things can happen. We don't know when the big one will happen, and maybe it won't. But, you know, you can predict unpredictability. So it doesn't hurt to be prepared. All right, guys, don't go away. We'll talk about your when we come back, 1-877-DOLLY. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safe. Hey guys, gals. Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-506-6740. 800-506-6740. That's 800-506-6740.
Dolly, 1-877-D-O-C-D-A-L-I. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. And big thanks to Daniel, who's working the dials. I miss Daniel. And Jason and everybody there. Big thanks to you all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dahlia Show. Okay, so I was gone for 2 weeks. That was the longest vacation I've ever taken. And it really kind of wasn't a vacation. It started off where I had to work. I usually fly coach, right, because we don't like to spend a lot of money. And we decided to upgrade to premium economy, okay? Premium economy is actually like business class, which is actually kind of like domestic first class. So it's kind of nice, and they offer you free drinks. So they're coming up to you going, you know, okay, you know, Dr. Wax, would you like a free drink? Would you like? And I was like, oh, my gosh, free? But I was thinking to myself, no, because every time I'm on a long flight, every time there's some sort of a code or something going on medically. And so I also don't take Ambien or I don't take anything to fall asleep on the plane because, again, I'm worried that I'm going to be woken up or my kids are going to need me or something like that because we flew with the kids. So as sure as, you know, silk, I fall asleep, and Corey wakes me up going, they need a doctor. So I get up, and I stumble, and I'm half asleep, and I grab somebody's Coke. Oops, sorry. All right, I grab somebody's Coke, sorry. And I can't keep shaking this place, sorry. And so I, you know, because I need to wake up, so I need some sugar. And it was some acute abdomen, and there was another doctor that was there on the plane, so that was good. And what was interesting, though, was we had orders from a doctor in Arizona. Apparently, flying over Greenland, or flying over the Arctic, the Mission Control was a place in Arizona that was giving the flight crew orders on what to do and what to give. And on these planes, they have all sorts of medicine. Okay, I mean, I've been on planes where we have nothing. No IV tubing, no oxygen, nothing. This plane, they actually had a bunch of different heart medications as well as Tramadol. So I was woken up to give the Tramadol that another doctor ordered. Okay, now, we doctors are like, okay, whoa. Okay, I'm going to decide what the patient wants, but it's not like that anymore. Somebody not on the plane is giving the orders, and which is fine. I didn't argue with that because, fine, let them have the liability. But I'm like, look, let me make sure you could tolerate this. She basically was having an acute abdominal pain. It was starting in the groin. It was going to the back. So I was with a critical care doctor, and he was like, yeah, it sounds like a kidney stone. The only thing is she wasn't vomiting, no blood in the urine. So I'm like, well, it could be a variety of things, you know, also maybe ovarian cyst rupture, you know, colitis, something else going on. So even though it could be a kidney stone, we were told to give her some Tramadol, which we did. And so, you know, we cracked it open, injected her, things like that. You know, I monitored her. She wasn't nauseous or anything like that. When I had a kidney stone, I was throwing up. So she was pretty stable, but I just kind of stayed with her for most of the flight. And, you know, so anyway, so I'm tired. She ended up being fine. There was transport. They asked me if I wanted to divert the plane. I said, no, never divert the plane if you don't have to because people get ticked, you know, but I said, let her off first. And it worked out good. But so we land in England and I have to pee. And I have to really pee, and I'm like, okay, good. I don't have to use, you know, I don't have to use plain bathrooms. I really have to go. And again, you land in Europe, and their toilet seats are different. I've been in Europe before. I just forgot about that. And I would really suggest and stress to everybody, bring your own toilet seat. It's really important, because if you can't squat, you're going to have a problem. Now, luckily, I was able to potty and, you know, do what I needed to do, but it's kind of difficult if you have bad knees like I do. And by the time we got to France, there was no toilet seat. I mean, it's just kind of like a big hole, depending on where you go. And you're paying a euro to pee. You have to pay to pee. So I figured out, ladies, I figured out what to do if you have bad knees like I do, because I got real bad knees. What you do is if you can't squat, one is take a big gulp cup, you know, although now they don't even sell them in New York. You can't get big gulps. You know, you only get like small cups. So that won't work for me because when I got to pee, it's like racehorse bean. But what you do is you stand like a man by the toilet, okay? And then you put your foot on the wall and there is a projectile. And you could pee in the toilet. Now, the only problem is it's great if you're in a skirt. If you're in pants, you got to kind of take off your pants and basically be half naked in order to get this done. But then you don't have to squat. So I figured out how to pee. In fact, I'm so good at it. I, like, came back to America, and I'm like, I want to pee standing up. I am so envious of men because they get to pee standing up. It's fantastic. Okay, now pooping, that's a whole other thing. You just have to hold it in for the 2 weeks, which is what I did. Okay, so we went to Normandy. We went to the beaches of Normandy. And that was really surreal. You know, we prayed like crazy knowing that people died right there. Not easy to get to Normandy. You either go across the English Channel like Simon Conway did when he went, for the D-Day anniversary. We took a train into Lille, then went to Calais. Calais had fallen during the war in the 30s, but it still looked beautiful. I mean, it's amazing how, you know, you can't even tell there was a war. And then we, made it over to Normandy. So it was like a full day trek, but it was so worth it. It was gorgeous. Okay. And then, which I know a lot of you guys are interested in, we went to Disneyland Paris. Now, okay, I had to go to Disneyland. It was the same price as going to Disneyland here, and I was really due for a Disneyland trip, and I so wanted to see Paris because apparently their Space Mountain ride is supposed to have, like, a loop-de-loop, and so when you're into the Space Mountain ride, you're supposed to go upside down, and apparently their Autobahn, their cars in Disneyland Paris are supposed to be, like, the land of the Luigi, the Cars movie, Cars? Yeah, they're supposed to be like little Italian Fiats or whatever. Well, just my luck, Space Mountain was closed and their Autobahn was closed. But I got to do some of the other rides. You're not missing much, by the way. if you've gone to Disneyland Anaheim, it is still the best Magical Kingdom. Disneyland Paris didn't have as many rides. There weren't as many people, but the lines were long because they didn't have as many rides. So there were still kind of long rides, long lines. Their Thunder Mountain was huge. Thunder Mountain was better. Their It's a Small World was better. But what I want to say about It's a Small World is the way Europeans look at Americans are, it's kind of interesting. They really think we're all about cowboy and wilderness and all that. So there's a big stress on cowboy, and which I think is kind of cool. And so, and they also think we really stress football a lot, which is true. So the It's a Small World is completely different in Paris because they stress Hollywood, they stress cowboy, a lot of Western type stuff, and then they stress, football and baseball, which so I thought that was pretty cool and pretty, pretty funny. Indiana Jones ride is a roller coaster as opposed to the one we have in Anaheim. So it's kind of cool. And they do have a loop-de-loop on the Indiana Jones ride, so that's cool. But our Disneyland is awesome. So, you know, kudos to Disneyland Paris. They're awesome, but ours is better. Just have to say that. Okay, so then we went to Amsterdam. All right, and we took a train. And wow. Oh, wow. Okay, so I live in Las Vegas. I've been to New Orleans. Okay, I'm not naive to how, you know, people like to go for guys' weekend. And there were there were tourists everywhere and a lot of young people. And it was something like you've never seen. But what was very interesting is it wasn't dirty. It wasn't creepy. It wasn't perverted. In fact, you know what? I probably need to spend a little bit more time talking because there's a lot of details you guys are going to want to know about the red light district. But it was actually, some parts of it was almost like entertainment, and it was almost kind of funny, and then other parts were beautiful. I didn't get that creepy feeling that I've gotten in other areas and other cities that we've seen. So it's almost like they did a celebration of sex. I'm going to spend a little bit more time talking about that because we're going to be coming up on break soon, and there's a lot more to that I want to talk about. But what I want to talk about in terms of the way we look at Europe, okay, here in America versus the way the Europeans look at America, whatever you think about Europe is wrong. I mean, I thought Europe was going to be very, very liberal. And I can't tell you how many times people, they figured that we were American. I don't know how, you know, because, you know, we talk with an accent a lot of times in our family. And, you know, my son, you know, decided to put on, you know, a British accent and a German accent because he's really good with accents, much better than I could ever be. And people came up going, hi, you know, how do you like our country? And, you know, we love Trump. I'm like, really? And I'm like, oh, they're just saying that because, you know, we're Americans and, you know, they want us to think that they respect our leader. But no, they were like going off on politics and talking about how much they love Trump. And I was shocked by that because I was expecting Europe to be very, very, you know, liberal with socialized medicine and things like that. And then when we talked to people who I thought would be liberal about socialized medicine, they're like, oh, no, the government can't run healthcare. I'm like, oh, well, what party do you belong to? And they were more liberal. But they're like, no, government can't run healthcare. You need private industry involved. You need, and I was like, okay, whoa. Can you guys talk to America, please? Because, you know, nobody's listening to me on how, I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat, we cannot go into a socialized medical system. Right? And, you know, here in Europe, they're even saying it's not working. It's not working. They also have a lot of issues with immigration. And so I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, many of them were kind of attracted to some of, you know, the way Trump does things is because they're very, very eager to see how he handles immigration. And so I just was kind of really, really shocked by that. Germany, I'm part German. And I'm part Austrian, so we had to see Germany and Austria. Absolutely beautiful. We went to Dachau concentration camp. We should talk about that. Concentration camp just kind of blew your mind. But there were so many Germans there that were there crying. You know, and I hate when people say, oh, well, the Germans did this to us. It wasn't the Germans. It was the Nazis. So we'll talk a little bit about Red Light District in the next segment. Just hold tight. And, again, no kids. We'll be right back. 1-877, Dr. Dolly.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to blackriflerealestate.com. That's blackriflerealestate.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow. A new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Federal prosecutors in New York laying out criminal charges against a politically connected billionaire.
First, conspiracy to commit sex trafficking, and second, the substantive crime of sex trafficking of underage girls.
Jeffrey Epstein accused of targeting girls as young as 14 years of age. Kevin Spacey is in a Massachusetts courtroom this morning, the actor facing sexual assault charges, but lawyers have been discussing what happened to the young accuser's cell phone and why it's gone missing. American Coco Gauff has lost her round of 16 Wimbledon match in London today. The 15-year-old losing 3-6, 3-6 to 7th-seeded Simona Halep. But no one as young as Gauff has made it this far at Wimbledon since Jennifer Capriati did in 1991. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Does your business spend $500 a month or more on gas and electric bills? Did you know by making a simple free phone call, you can save up to 25% on your bill every month? What could you do with a 25% savings on utility bills every month? Energy deregulation is now available in your state. Making one simple phone call will show you how we can lower your gas and electric bills instantly, with no changes to your bill and no enrollment fee. This is a free service. The only thing you'll notice is a lower bill every month. Call U.S. Power and Light right now. Learn how easy it is to lower your utility bills for your business and save money. We promise. So if you spend over $500 a month on your gas and electric bills, please call right now and unleash your savings.
800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. That's 800-941-3381.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCDALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. Okay, so I promised you guys I would, you know, give you guys the scoop before I left. And so I hope this isn't too graphic, but it's a part of our world, and, you know, we might as well talk about it. So Amsterdam, one of the most amazing cities I've been to. Absolutely fantastic. And gorgeous, gorgeous, okay? You know, if you go to Holland, the people there, they speak English. They speak phenomenal English. I'm sorry, I'm still having issues with my... Sorry, the studio's a mess also. I apologize. I apologize. This is not working. I don't really... There we go. Okay, good, good, good. So, there's canals everywhere. People ride bicycles. There are, like, tons of bicycles, so you got to be careful so you don't get run over. There's windmills... A lot of canals. It's beautiful. It's one of the most beautiful cities I've been to. And they have the Red Light District. And the Red Light District is kind of like the Las Vegas of Europe. But it's different, more different than I've seen. So, we didn't realize we were on, so at first we go walking with the kids. And so my kids are 19 and 16. Okay, so I mean, I wasn't worried about mapping out our walk because I'm like, well, if we run into it, we run into it. But it was daytime. So I didn't think that the red light district was going to be anything, you know, anything really going on, right, you know, during the day because it's the day. So, you know, we're walking along. And I'm walking, you know, down a street, and it's crowded in Amsterdam. You know, a lot of European cities are crowded, right? So I'm just walking, and I see something move to my side, and you quickly look over. You're like, oh my God. And, it was a woman there that was half naked. Okay? I'm like, oh guys, sorry to be look, cause I thought, okay, she was changing. You know, I didn't realize, cause it wasn't red light. It was, by the way, it doesn't get dark until 11 at night. Over there because of the latitude. So, you know, cause it's really kind of high up. I think it's like equitable to like Maine. So it's summertime. So it doesn't get, so, you know, if you're walking around at 6-7 o'clock at night, you're not seeing red lights. So we're walking along and then boom, all of a sudden I see a half naked woman. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, I didn't know you were changing, whatever. Like she was in her underwear. Then there's another half naked woman. I'm like, oh, wait a second, guys. I think we're in the red light district. Okay, now I didn't have to make that announcement because apparently the guys in my family were already on it. They're like, oh, hi, how are you? Hi. It's like, stop it. Bad boys. So anyway, we're like, okay, do we walk straight or do we walk backwards? And then I start looking at the signs, right? Caligula, sex shop, get your panties here. You know, my husband's like, you need more underwear? I'm like, no, I don't need more underwear. Thank you. My Playtex 36-hour bulletproof bra is fine. My Hanes/Hathaway, they work for me. I don't need to buy underwear in Amsterdam. I don't even know if I have enough euros because I need, like, a lot of material, right? So, anyway, apparently they have these windows, and whether it's day or night, and you could go window shopping. So you walk down the street, and whether the red lights are on or whatnot, you get to choose somebody in the window, and then I guess you negotiate a price, and then you have sex with them. And if the curtains are closed, that means the person is busy working. And so, that, you know, that's just something you just don't see in Las Vegas or New Orleans or a lot of other places. I guess maybe so. But, I mean, maybe it is, and I'm just really, really naive. But that's not what the big draw is. There's also marijuana. There's a lot of, a cafe is, I guess, there's coffee shops and cafes. Cafes are, I think, where they sell the marijuana. Amsterdam didn't stink like a lot of other cities that have legalized marijuana do. I found that very fascinating. So you could tell when you walked by a cafe because it stunk of marijuana, but you didn't smell it all over. And everybody did a walk around looking stoned. So I found that interesting. And no, we didn't do any marijuana or anything like that. They still drug test doctors and stuff. So I'm not going to lose my license over, you know, yeah, going to Amsterdam. But I will tell you what I did. Okay. So all our friends said that you have to go to a sex show. You have to see a show in Amsterdam. And I'm like, okay, you know, like a sex show or a show, you know, because I'm more into like Lion King and Jersey Boys and Oh and Cirque du Soleil. Like, no, you need to go and see a sex show. And I'm like, no, because I don't want to stand around, you know, with a lot of pervs and creeps. And it wasn't like that. Again, we're looking at like Disneyland lines, right? And couples. And you didn't see kids, of course. And everybody's like really excited about a show. And I'm like, okay, you know what? I'll go to say I've gone. I got to see this. Okay, as long as, you know, this isn't like, you know, people who are trafficked or people who are abused. I mean, if these are like, you know, I not that you could tell, but it just seemed to be like I don't know how to call it. It was supposed to be like a show. It's not supposed to be like, we had something in Vegas, I think. It was called the Green Door where you go in and you watch people have sex. I don't know what it is. I've never been. But that's kind of, it just wasn't supposed to be like that. Everybody said, you need to go. All these professionals who I work with say, no, you gotta go in, take in a show and tell me what you thought. So, we had just had a really good dinner and some lamb. And I'm like, okay, I need something sweet. okay, can we go get ice cream? Or, fine, we'll watch a show for 5 minutes, but then I really need something sweet. So there were, like, these bouncer-type guys, and one handed me a lollipop, and he handed all the women in line lollipops. And I'm like, okay, well, you know what? Good. I could use a lollipop, and I'm sure it's clean. It's fine. And it was, like, peach-colored. So I'm like, oh, okay, so it'll probably taste like peach, you know, like recount or peach pies. So I opened it up, and it tasted horrible. I can't tell you what it tasted like. And when I looked at it, it was, you know, it was a body part. And so that didn't really work for me. So that was the most horrible lollipop. So then we go in, and I hear laughing. So we go in, it's like a stadium. And so it's like a movie theater. And you hear laughing, and you hear music, and there was apparently a lady on stage that was taking off the bra of one of the other ladies. And I'm like, oh, God, 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 okay, I do not want to go up on stage, all right? And, you know, so we sat down, and I'm like, okay, you know, how long do we need to stay? Because I'm, like, really nervous. I don't want to be called up on stage. And then they have these different acts. And on one act, there was a lady who was dancing, and she stripped, and then she just sat there naked and smoked a cigar. And I'm like, okay, it's stupid. I don't really want to see a naked woman smoking a cigar. Apparently, though, that wasn't supposed to be the big act. The big act was what she could do with the cigar. So she put the cigar in a certain body part and was able to elicit smoke from it. And everybody cheers. They're like, yay! And then that was the end of that act. Then there was another act where two people came on the stage and they start kissing and they start having sex, but then they start having sex to music and actual dancing. So they're almost break dancing while having sex. And then the music stops, everyone's like, yay, woo! And I was like, okay, this is weird. And then there was a woman that came out, and she was dancing to the Pink Panther. She was in really pretty underwear. And, you know, I started to take notes going, okay, you know what? You know, maybe I should really learn something from this because, you know, my reference is 1990s sex, okay? And I think a lot has changed, you know, since the 90s. And I don't know if, you know, missionary, you know, is going to keep, you know, my husband with me. So I better take some notes. And also, should I get better underwear? So then there was this lady. She was dancing to the Pink Panther. She had this beautiful underwear, beautiful pink tail, and she's dancing. And then all of a sudden, she takes off the underwear, but the tail doesn't come off. And so I guess the tail was actually in her butt. And so everybody was clapping, and that was the end of that act. And then there was a lady that called somebody out on stage to come up. And she was like all in, you know, she was all in garbs and whips. And this guy decides to volunteer. Oh, yeah, we were going to leave. I was like, okay, I'm done with this. I don't really need to look at this anymore. Let's go. And as we stand up, they go, we need a volunteer. And I'm like, oh, God, sit down, sit down, sit down. You know, because anytime I volunteered in medical school, that was like a disaster. So I'm like, sit down. I do not want anybody calling me up to stage. So she called up this guy up to the stage who was probably there for a bachelor party or whatever. And so she pulls down his pants a little bit and starts whipping him, and everybody's like, you know, happy and screaming and yelling. But then she uses a toy on stage, and then she makes him put it in his mouth. And so I'm now disgusted. I'm like, oh, my God, he's going to get an STD, and I'm about to scream. And I'm like, okay, we got to get out of here. This is, like, so bad. People are going to get STDs from this. You know, so we leave, and then I actually get some ice cream. But it was just so weird that it wasn't like what you would think, like where you, now they do have areas where you can watch porn and things like that, but it was just something I've never seen before. And so I don't think I would recommend anybody go see a show. I don't think you have to see it, especially if you watch enough porn. But it's weird how they did more of a celebration of sex than anything else. And I don't know, maybe that's just kind of a part of European culture. I don't know. Don't go away, we'll be right back. 1-877, that's Dolly.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hey guys, gals, Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com. Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safely.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure powdery Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure powdery Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Warning. If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
All right, we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCDALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. Michael wants to know about how rude people were in Europe, and did I feel an anti-American sentiment, and did I feel an anti-Semitic sentiment there? Okay, my answer to that is no, 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 but I will tell you what we noticed, which was very, very fascinating. And I'm sorry if I've spent a lot of time talking about this, but I want to kind of teach you guys what I saw and try to relate it to the, a lot of my new opinions on things now have kind of this educational base after having been there a couple weeks. Not that that's enough, you know, it doesn't give you as much of a prism into, you know, what healthcare would be like, whatever. But, you know, in terms of the people, no, I didn't. In terms of, you know, people like, oh, well, the French people rude. Not at all. Everybody was nice. French people were fantastic. German people were fantastic. Austrian. Everybody was really nice. If you take cuts in line, yeah, that's a problem. Okay, you know, we didn't take cuts in line, it's just I would get in line first, and then I'm like, okay, Brock, get over here, you know, tell my kid to get over here, and then they're like, well, no, and I'm like, well, he's my kid, can he be in line with me? So we had a couple of those things, but it was at Disneyland, you know, so there were other tourists, so I don't know, maybe there were Americans that were getting mad at us, I don't know, but in terms of the locals and being in a lot of small towns, which we did, we really spent a lot of time in the small towns, very, very nice, and like I told you, a lot of them, spoke English. I had tried to learn a little bit of French, a little bit of German when I went there, so I could at least, you know, speak when we ordered, etc. But for the most part, most of our conversations were in English. And the majority of them know how to speak English. And in Amsterdam, most of them do speak English. Yes, they could speak Flemish and Dutch and German and all that, but the majority of people do are bilingual, and their fallback is English. So it was really, really easy to get around. And I'll also talk about it. It's not that expensive to go to Europe. It's really a lot more doable than people think. In fact, I'm finding it was cheaper to eat in Europe and stay at hotels in Europe than and take trains and move around than it is in America. So if you need a vacation, as much as I want to keep America's economy bustling and I want to increase tourism in America, for those of you thinking, oh, Europe is not doable, it actually is cheaper than a lot of American vacations we've taken. So, you know, something to think about. No, and then, you know, being Jewish in Germany, people said there's going to be a lot of anti-Semitism. We didn't, you know, walk around telling everybody shalom, you know, and ask where the matzah is, you know, we didn't do that. We just kind of, you know, we didn't really do anything stereotypical, which most Jewish people don't do. Most Jewish people don't walk around and say shalom or ask for matzah. So I detected no anti-Semitism when I was there. You know, there was, people of all faiths and all races there. You saw a lot of Muslims. You saw a lot of Jews. You saw people very openly wear their kippahs or yarmulkes. You know, you saw a lot of, Muslims, you know, very, very openly, wear their, dresses and head coverings, et cetera. And it seemed, and, you know, maybe it was, you know, because I, you know, it was a good day, but every day we were there, I didn't really seem to see people on guard. And again, we weren't at the high touristy areas. We went to a lot of small towns because we did a lot of driving. We rented a car. We drove a lot of places. And so we found that to be pretty, pretty fascinating. Now, Europe is having major issues with immigration because they have a lot of refugees coming in. And so they are worried about jobs and, enough tax dollars going to welfare-type programs. And so they are having a lot of those issues, which might be why some of them had an affinity towards Trump. We were in England. And we were at the Arundel Castle, and somebody, started talking to us, and they realized we were American, and they go, you know, what I really like about Trump is blah, blah, blah. And, you know, if somebody doesn't like Trump, but they're trying to, you know, please you, they'll be like, oh, Trump's great. He speaks his mind. Okay, when somebody says that, you know they're not a big fan of Trump. But he was actually, you know, bringing up policies, and apparently Europe is fascinated by what happens in America. And so I think maybe that could be what's going on. They're kind of concerned about their immigration issues and their healthcare issues, et cetera, and they want to see what Trump can do. So I found that fascinating, even though I'm sure you have people on both sides of the aisle. Usually in these countries, a lot of it is, you know, we heard it was 50-50. We thought, again, Europe was very, very was supposed to be very, very liberal, but it didn't seem that way. It was, but what people told us, it's 50-50, and people more in the rural areas are going to be more conservative because a lot of them do not benefit from a lot of the programs that their tax dollars are going towards. So very similar to in America. So I found that kind of, you know, interesting. So we went to a concentration camp at Dachau. Dachau was one of the first concentration camps that the Nazis built, and it was considered a work camp. And the work camp, there were extermination camps and death camps like Auschwitz, but then there were a lot of work camps, and they used, you know, the political prisoners, Jews and Christians alike, to, you know, do a lot of work, and unfortunately a lot of, you know, bad things happened, like, you know, experiments, women were removed from the men, taken to another area, raped, etc. And so, when me being Jewish and having family who escaped Germany, escaped Austria, having family who were killed in Poland and other countries, and had to be in some of these concentration camps, we had another relative that died, I believe, in Auschwitz. You know, the questions we ask in our family is, how did they not know? I mean, you're going to a camp. How do you not know? And they didn't know. You know, the writing on the walls at Dachau says, you know, work sets you free. Work will set you free. They, you know, people thought they were work camps. And they didn't want to go, but, you know, they went because they were rounded up by guns. And, you know, I remember, you know, as kids, we were like, okay, there is no way I'd march. Somebody tried to, you know, put me on a train. I would fight them tooth and nail. But you got to realize, okay, if you're a father and you have three children and your wife, you decide to step out of line and start to wrestle one of the soldiers for his gun, you and your wife and children are going to be killed. And so when somebody came in and pointed a gun to you and your family, you did exactly what they said. When they confiscated our family's guns and our family's businesses, some of our family said, to hell with this, there's a lot of anti-Semitism in the 30s, let's get out of this country. If we're not wanted here, something bad could happen. Some of our other family was like, no, there's anti-Semitism all the time. Yeah, you know, what's going to happen to us? Well, and then unfortunately they died. So the concentration camp that we saw in Dachau was one of the first ones that was kind of a barometer for others to be built. And overcrowded conditions, horrible, horrible, you know, things happened there. A lot of humiliation, a lot of firing ranges. There was a crematorium we saw. There was a gas chamber there, but supposedly they didn't use the gas chamber at Dachau. They used gas chambers at other areas, but it looked exactly like how you would expect the gas chamber. You walk in, it looked like a shower. It looked like a group shower facility. So it was really surreal. But what was very interesting is you saw a lot of school kids there doing a field trip, because we were there during a weekday, and school doesn't get out till July. And you saw kids crying. And these weren't Jewish kids. These were, you know, these were kids of all faiths sitting there crying at that. And so, you know, I think the German you know, the German population, you know, they're forever plagued with, you know, what the Nazi regime did. But I think that the fact that they, you know, allow tours and they have kids on student group on, you know, school field trips see this stuff, I thought that was pretty admirable, to not try and erase history, because that history mars them. Austria was absolutely exquisite, one of the most beautiful countries I've been to. You need to see the Alps. Absolutely fantastic. There's ice caves you could go into. Not that expensive to go and see the ice caves. You could take buses, you could take a train, you could rent a car, and then you do a lot of hiking, a lot of climbing, so it's not for people who have a weak heart. But Austria was absolutely exquisite. You need to see that. I would recommend it. We went into Switzerland for a little bit. Again, the people were fantastic. Swiss, though, have different money, so you can't use euros, you got to use francs. England, you have to use pounds. The exchange rate kills you. Be very careful exchanging, especially in America, you know. But I would use, like, a credit card, you know, because there's a lot of fees that a lot of these banks do out here. But it was a fantastic trip, and, you know, I'll educate you guys more on stuff later, but we'll get to medical news next. 1-877-DOC-BELLY.
Do you own a timeshare? Well, you probably now realize it wasn't a good idea, and the financial strain it's putting on you and your family has you stressed, and you probably think there's no way out. This is Steve Sanchez, and you know I've been an advocate for hardworking Americans just like you for 27 years, and there's a way out of this financial nightmare, and my friends at Wesley Financial, the leading timeshare cancellations company in the country, can help you cancel your timeshare guaranteed. Being lied to, misled, and pressured into buying a timeshare doesn't have to be your story. But freedom of being out of it can be. I have a special free information kit that will give you the step-by-step process that Wesley Financial uses to get you out of your timeshare guaranteed. Call 1-800-501-6100. That's 1-800-501-6100 or visit stevesanchez.info. You don't have to have the financial nightmare of a timeshare any longer. Wesley Financial can help you get out guaranteed. Call 1-800-501-6100.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.